Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
You are listening to Item 13, an African food podcast, and I'm your host, Yom Akuaku. This season, we are showcasing stories from the inaugural class of Changing Narratives Africa Fellowship, a highly selective program for African food entrepreneurs who are ready to scale their brands into global markets. The organization's vision is to see proudly African food and beverage brands on the shelves of all the major grocery chains and e-commerce sites in the world, because they are high quality, healthy, and taste good. Here's this week's conversation. Welcome to another edition of Item 13. We are continuing our series here with our Changing Narratives Africa Fellows. This week, we have with us Tami Djibouti. Did I say your last name right?
Yes, you did.
Thank you. Who is Managing Director of Ace Foods, and he'll tell us a little bit more about his journey to coming to Ace Foods in a little bit here. And it'll be interesting because of the connection of Ace Foods to Changing Narratives Africa. And Tami is calling us from Lagos, Nigeria, in the evening on a Friday, which I feel like has been a theme here. So I appreciate, again, you giving up some of your Friday evening to chat with me. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, okay. So we'll kick off with learning a little bit about you. So as I said, you're based in Nigeria now, but could you tell us a little bit about sort of your background, where you grew up, where you lived, traveled, and how you sort of ended up with Ace Foods?
All right. Thanks so much. And once again, thank you for having myself and Ace Foods on your program. To tell you about myself, I was born in Lagos, Nigeria. I had my first degree from the Obafemi Awolowo University in Ile-Ife, Osun State, where I studied estate management. And right after that, I then went abroad, went to Canada, where I then did a different first degree in business administration. And then right from there, I went on to do my master's in operations management. And leaving school, the first opportunity that came my way was working with McDonald's Corporation in Canada, you know, where I worked. I headed three restaurants. I was the restaurant operations manager for three restaurants. And right after that, I then joined a Japanese company in Canada called Sakai Spice, where they deal in mustard powder. That was where I got my entry into fully understanding the supply chain and also understanding a whole lot more about food production and distribution. And it was while I was in Canada, my wife is, she's a Filipino-Canadian. And during that period, we traveled to the Philippines where we spent some time. And right about that, it gave me some time to really think deep. And I decided to come back home to Nigeria, spend time with my aging parents. At that point, my dad had been told he had about 2 years or thereabouts to leave.
And, oh, wow. My goodness.
And I'd been away for quite a while, you know, so I figured it's probably a good thing to go spend those last periods with him. The good thing was, right after that was in 2014, he had a whole lot more years, you know, and he passed away.
Oh, thank you.
January of last year.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, but it sounds like you had a good long life.
Oh, yes, indeed. It was 78, and he did achieve everything he wanted to achieve in life. And I'm his baby, the last one of the house. So we had a good time together. So it was while we came back to Nigeria. In the process, I met Ndidi and Mizo, and like it is with them, they gave me an opportunity, you know, opportunity to contribute to their vision, which I bought into, knowing who they are, and I felt it was my opportunity to not only be a part of that vision, but to also learn from them, you know, which I've done in the last 8 years. So that was how my journey came into Ace Foods, and since then and now, it's been the best of stories, you know, ups and downs. But in all of this, you know, we've had more ups than down. And as an organization, we continue to grow, and we're excited for the future.
That's amazing! Wow. I'm trying to think. Where do I even go from there? Where do I even go from there? Okay, let's start with Ace Foods. Like, tell us about Ace Foods for people who are hearing the name or about it for the first time. What is Ace Foods?
Okay, so Ace Food is this, I would say, a one-of-a-kind organization. And why I say this is the vision that brought Ace into existence. And when you hear me say Ace, we're talking about African Ace, as in Ace of Spade. So the vision that kept
brought Ace. Oh, so that's what Ace stands for. So Ace, for those who can visualize, Ace is AACE Foods. And so you're saying that it stands for African Ace?
So it makes it easier for you to relate with us, African Ace. Africa's Ace Food came into existence. The company was founded in 2009. Mm-hmm. We, however, started operation in 2010. And there were three objectives brought it into existence. And as at that period, over 90% of the processed food, you know, consumed in Nigeria, you know, was imported into the country. And it was also sad to note that as at that period, over 60% of the population were involved in agriculture in one way or the other. But then we still had to import what we consume as a nation, either as a whole or in parts, into the country. And a second reason was the large amount of waste, you know, that the Nigerian farmers were experiencing. A study during that period had stated that it was between 20 to 50%, just because there was no access to market. And then the third was the high rate of malnourished children, you know, we had in the country, which was over 37%. And so having all three objectives together, you know, Ace felt there was an opportunity there to come in and be a difference. And since then and now, we work with over 10,000 smallholder farmers across Nigeria. And those farmers, we provide, we impute, we've also facilitated microfinance. We've improved their livelihood, you know. And also, we've worked extensively to find our way into the hearts of a lot of the multinationals and the big corporations who, prior to Ace Food coming into existence, they had to import a lot of their materials. And for us to do this at Ace, we also had to guarantee quality. We had to do, you know, we had to make sure we had the right processes that would ensure we had good quality products, you know. And so since then and now, we're much in a better place, you know, to provide the good things that that all together is improving the nutritional status of a whole lot of Nigerians.
No, that's incredible. And knowing Ndidi, I it's amazing. Like, it's not surprising that this is her vision, and like, she's been able to bring it to life in this way. And so, because I typically interview founders, like, I'm curious from your perspective coming into, and I guess that's your experience anyway, you worked at corporations before, but coming in to an organization where the vision and the founders, you know, probably have this big vision for what they want to do, where they want to take the company, and being made sort of the managing director so they can step back, What has it been like in terms of bringing the vision to life and applying your own experience in terms of wanting to make, well, your experience with places like McDonald's, for example, which everybody knows when you go to McDonald's, like that's the learning ground for deep operations, right? And then the spice work you did for the Japanese company, and then coming in to sort of apply that experience at Ace, like what have you found, I guess maybe challenging or even interesting as you came on board to work for a truly local Nigerian company?
Okay. So the first thing is coming into an organization like ACE, it was local, but then it wasn't operating with a local mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have founders like Ndidi and Mizo, you want to expect that it has to be in line with the best practices, you know from the start to the beginning. 2014, when I came in, we were a lot smaller, but then our dreams were indeed big, you know. Yes. And listening to the founders of the company and understanding the vision they had and which kind of aligns into what I want as a person, aligns mm-hmm. into my own goal also to be the solution to someone's problem, to be the answer to someone's question, you know, so to solve the problem of food security, you know, we have in the organization, mm-hmm. you know, so it was a lot easy for me, you know, coming, because for me, it wasn't just about what I wanted to give in. It was also about what I wanted to gain, you know, what I wanted to learn, because at that point of my career, you know, coming in from Canada and coming into Nigeria, it was a total different terrain. But then my expectations were kind of not as high, but then coming in and the systems and structures you meet on ground and the processes and things that were happening, you know, it kind of gave me the belief that, you know, if we really pursue this dream, you know, great things actually would happen. You know, I remember those period, I would always say, you know, Ace Food is a small company doing big things, because we're actually doing big things. You know, we were putting in things into place that we weren't seeing. You know, we built structures that did not make sense even at that small stage. And for a lot of us, we were asking why. But then because we had the opportunity of flying on the shoulders of some giants, you know, it only took a few months or a few years down the line, and we were able to see those the vision that we started Ace Foods then, the vision, you know, 10, 11 years after that has now even become a lot smaller. So we're in the process of batting new vision, because we want to achieve even much bigger things. You know, we're moving from, you know, which is one of the great things about Changing Narrative Africa. Yeah. We're moving from that company. Yes, we've reached out to a number of customers in Europe and in outside Nigeria that we're selling to, but now we're actually making it official. We're going global. You know, which is what I tell the team. Ace Food is going global, you know, which is really exciting for us.
Yeah, that's exciting. And before we even jump more into, you know, the impact of Changing Narratives Africa, wanted to touch base quickly on this idea of, because you mentioned briefly and then we just sort of passed it by, but I think it's really important. This idea of supporting the smallholder farmers and promoting local sourcing, right? First of all, the number to me, well, Nigeria is big, so everything in Nigeria probably feels like, from a scale perspective, feels, I guess 10,000 doesn't seem that many when you think in the context of the population of Nigeria. But for me, when I think about smallholder farmers in Africa, I should say West Africa specifically, super informal, like even getting a few people together to do a co-op or something can be challenging, right, in terms of processes and all that. So how do you manage these 10,000 plus, I'm sure, smallholder farmers as you source locally for your products?
Yeah, one of the things we've looked at is we understand that yes, it is challenging, but then we also recognize that this was one of the reasons why we came into existence. And so we see the challenges, but then the challenges don't scare us. And as an organization, one of the things we've learned to do is to understand our risk and to provide the solutions to the risk. Well, how do we mitigate them even before they happen? So we've worked with farmers all of this while, and we didn't start from 10,000. We started from 100, and then the numbers started to grow. And what this helped with was it helped build systems and structures. We were able to manage 100 well, and then we moved to 1,000. And a little bit about some of the situations we've encountered was, we needed to create traceability, farm to fork. And in doing all of this, we had periods where the farmers were supplying us produce, and a lot, some of them would have rocks in the bags. And why they would have rocks in the bag was to amplify the weight so that they could get a lot more in return. And but then not all the farmers were doing this, so we realized that we then needed to take it the next level. And we said, you know what, guys, we need to have your names on the bag. We had extension officers go to the field to give them training. How do you get the right harvest? How do you aggregate right? How do you bag them right? And then how do you transport them right? We started to do all of these things. And then at some point, we realized we were getting data from these guys. And then we realized we could tell the male, we could tell the female. But then why are our females so little? How come we're not getting supplies from women? And then as an organization, we then figured, you know what, we need to do a lot more. So we then set a target. We need to make sure that 30% of our raw materials were actually supplied by the women. And because we were working with the cooperatives and we had their names, we had their gender and their phone numbers, so we made this a rule. 30% of every purchase order that goes to you must be contributed by the women. So we were, based on the traceability we had with the names of the on the bags, we were able to call the women. Okay, how many kg did you deliver? How many kg did you deliver? And this continued till it then became a norm. And also because of the name writing and traceability, the quality of the produce improved. And at this stage, even our own volumes in terms of what we were using in the factory was growing. So it then meant we needed to do a whole lot more. We started to, one of the things we then had to introduce was the Farmers Business School. And this was helping them understand the business of agriculture. To a lot of them, farming was just a way of life. But to us, now we're talking agribusiness. So it's the game is changing. So how do you make them see all of that? These were a lot of the things we had to put into place. And it worked out great for us.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, "I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world." Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at hearstranch.com.
For people that are not familiar, I know we've talked about ACE Foods, we've talked about the farmers. Like, for people that are not familiar, do you just want to quickly tell us, like, the product line in terms of what you offer, both for maybe a retail and then for maybe those who are listening based in the diaspora, who from an export and maybe wholesale perspective too, like what? So both retail and I guess wholesale, in terms of your offering.
Okay, all right. So in terms of, we are in the spice seasoning, and in a commodity and complementary food business. We're in food ingredients. At the retail level, we have black pepper, chili pepper, ginger powder, garlic powder, turmeric, onions, We also have seasonings, curry, pepper soup, soya seasoning, jollof seasoning, fried rice. And we also make customized blends, you know, and then we also have flours. You know, you have beans flour, maize flour, soya
maize. Oh, for moi moi, your beans flour probably, right?
Yeah, beans flour for moi moi, exactly. And then we also provide, we also sell commodities. You know, we've been doing quite a bit of bed high chili lately, you know, abroad. Mm-hmm. We also have the ginger splits, the turmeric splits, and then the chili pepper. You know, so we're basically around the food ingredient space. You know, we're happy to, you know, we're happy doing all of this. You know.
No, that's great. And then I think, I feel like I saw on your website too that you do like cereal for babies, because I think that also will probably address your, one of your objectives of like addressing more nourishment, right?
Yes, that's a soya maize.
Yeah. Oh, that's a soya maize. Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. So then in terms of Changing Narratives, the Changing Narratives Africa program, you probably found out about it through NDD, right? Because her hands are sort of in both of those parts. But in terms of your experience so far, like what, I know it's only been a couple of months now, but what are you expecting that the program will help you address in terms of the things you're looking to do as a business going forward?
So as a business for us, just like the name Changing Narrative Africa goes, for us, we're looking at the program to be a game changer for us. For a very long time, we know we have great products. All I need to do is get you to try it, and I can bet you the hooked to it. But then how do we get this to the right people? How do we get it to the right hands, you know, that could then make it, you know, much bigger for us? And that is the platform Changing Narratives Africa has provided for us. What we're looking at is, you know, being able to connect Africa, you know, to the rest of the world through our culinary, you know, through those, you know, those things that really connect you. Food, they say, is life. And sometimes, you know, they also say food is ingredients, food is your medicine, you know, and we want to bring this to the table in North America, you know, and we're looking to get into as many stores as possible. We're looking to grow revenue. More than grow revenue for us is every sale that happens abroad, it's actually improving the livelihood of a farmer back home.
Yeah.
And as much as we're trying to drive that revenue, we're driving it even more because we know it creates employment for mm-hmm. people in the factory. It improves livelihood of the smallholder farmers, you know, the logistic drivers that handle the logistics. So there's a whole lot changing.
Yeah.
You know? So the change
is across the value chain. This, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's changing the entire value chain, not just making it, not just bringing you good ingredients in the state, but it's also improving life.
Yeah, so you can feel good about what you buy because it's impacting a lot of people along the value chain. So this is a similar question, but I kind of want you to state it clearly for those that are listening. Like, what's next for Ace Foods? Like, what's the big vision you have for their business? Like, if you think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, like, what place do you see Ace Foods having in like the global food system or even the local food system? I don't want to put words in your mouth. So like, I'll leave it there and then I can prompt you if you need that. But like, if you think about Ace Foods 5 years from now, 10 years from now, like what's the big vision?
So 5 years from now, we want to change the narratives. We want to build a brand, you know, that African brand that gives hope, that gives joy, you know, the brand that could mean so many things to so many people, but more than all of that, it brings joy. In terms of the food space, you know, a brand that's able to connect, you know, connect Africa to the world by providing them with nourishment. You know, as a brand, we want to grow our space. You know, we want to be synonymous with quality. You know, we want to be a spice leader, a food production company to reckon with. You know, I don't want to mention the other big brands, you know, but then we really want them to watch out for us.
You know,
because 5 years from, we're changing the
The African ace is coming after you.
We're almost there, actually. We're almost there. Almost there.
Awesome. Like, I mean, knowing the team, I have no doubt that even less than 5 years from now, that there's going to be a lot of growth. There's going to be a lot of impact from the work that you're doing. So I'm excited to see where that goes for you and the team. Before we transition to the rapid fire segment, can you let people know where to find you online? So website, social media, like how to contact you if interested in products, even investments.
Okay, so our website is www.acefoods.com, and on Twitter it's at acefoods, and also on Facebook we're acefoods as well, and you can reach us across the social media platforms.
Great, and I will also share the link to your website in the show notes, including, and then when we post on socials, we'll tag you so everybody knows how to connect with you as well. All right, so we're going to wrap up very quickly here with these rapid fire questions, which are either or. So do you prefer hot or cold, for example? Like five or so quick questions and we will wrap up. So the first one, I'm trying to think which one I want to ask. The first one is, if you had to choose, essentially all these questions, if you had to choose, would you pick more money or more free time?
I'll pick more money.
Okay, because more money can buy you free time, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then from a food perspective, what's your favorite African food and why?
My favorite African food has to be pounded yam with egusi. and this is because both my parents are from the pounded yam and egusi eating part of the country. So we grew up eating this very often, and it was built into my DNA, you know, and I've just come to love it.
Yeah. And knowing that you lived in Canada and in the US, I want to know, like, what's your favorite season, like weather wise?
Oh, it's spring.
Oh, spring. Interesting. Not summer. I was like, oh, you went back to Nigeria.
I love the green grasses coming out. I love the change from the brown to the green. You know, I also love the weather. It's you know, it's not too hot. It's just perfect for me. Yeah.
Awesome. And then the last question, which may be the same answer as your favorite African food, but if you could live on one dish for the rest of your life, what would it be?
How would it be pounded yam? Maybe I have to live on pounded yam. I'll be sleeping a lot.
Right? I'm like, that's every day.
it has to be something light, though. It has to be something light. My wife is Asian, and she also eats a lot of rice. So I think I'll go with rice on the
rice. Something, yeah, rice. Rice is pretty versatile. Okay, awesome. That's it. Thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, learning more about Ace Foods and the trajectory you guys are on in terms of the kind of impact you wanted to make in the world, what you want to say about African food to the rest of the world. And we'll all be here watching, buying products, also investing if we can, and rooting for you to be successful.
Thank you. Awesome. We're so excited about it.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you for listening to Item 13, an African food podcast. If you like the show, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. To keep up to date, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Item 13 Podcast. Item 13 is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.